brought to you in part by Ginn and Petro, PA, a full-service law firm located in St. Augustine, serving all of Northeast Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
WTRJ, Orange Park, is a daily WAYL, St. Augustine, and WATY,
with Folkestone. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we have the discussion each and every day. Issues that I believe that we need to be aware of, we need to face as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, and make the determination how God would have us to respond to them. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so by the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And may I say to you, truth is so needed in society today. Truth is seemingly a thing of the past when it comes to societal issues, especially when it comes to what you would call the woke society that we're living in today, where the government and others want to say what we can do and what we cannot do and control our lives through the governmental authorities and some of the courts. This is the reason we're talking about a subject today. Should parents or government control our kids? Who has the authority, biblically, the government or the parents? Why are we so concerned, or why should we be concerned? For example, ladies and gentlemen, looking at a headline, threatening every child in America. A boy is forced to get a COVID shot against his parents' wishes. Now the courts agree with it. A state court ruling has forced a COVID treatment on a young child at his school is being denounced as something that threatens every child in America. The comment from a pastor lawyer says, as he is writing about it at the Federalist, about the case involving a 6-year-old Vermont boy. He was vaccinated with an experimental COVID intervention against the family's wishes, and now the Vermont Supreme Court has endorsed the action by the state. Ladies and gentlemen, I use that as an insert with a little parenthetical footnote for what we'll talk about today, because simply put, it appears that court after court, including the Supreme Court, making the decisions that parents have no authority, that the state has the total authority, that those decisions ought to be made by the government and not by the parent of the child. But ladies and gentlemen, it gets back to the factor of truth. What is truth? Jesus said, "I am truth. Thy word is truth." But yet, ladies and gentlemen, according to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, he said this, The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. We find, according to the latest survey, ladies and gentlemen, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55%, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. The millennials take the position, according to this research, 55% of them say that each person has the right to determine his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You can take a half-truth, and it's a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my position that I open our broadcast with each and every day. I believe it's time we get back to the fundamentals of the faith, morals, ethics, and values, and underpinning all of that is the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? It's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll take just a few moments with a brief pre-introduction to the monologue. Then we'll open our telephone lines and start taking our callers today. But ladies and gentlemen, listen. The Bible says that a parent is to train up his child in the way he should go. That's the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go. Not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's in Proverbs 22:6. Listen, this is not the only biblical text that gives the parents the instructions from God as to what they ought to do with the children. But in today's world, in today's society, it appears, ladies and gentlemen, that the woke culture and the demonic delusion and the delusional thinking with that would have us to believe that it is the government's responsibility, the government's job to decide what a parent should do or should not do. Listen, more and more, we're becoming a socialist, communist, woke nation where more and more there's a dependence upon government to tell us what to do, what to eat, where we can go, et cetera, et cetera. That's the purpose of the electric cars, is so that there can be a geofencing to tell us how far we can go and how far we can drive. That's the purpose today, ladies and gentlemen, for having the government come in and decide for health reasons that we need to take a death jab in our arms that is simply an experimental drug. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we find in our schools today where there's the brainwashing, the indoctrination, not education, but indoctrination, where it's teaching that child to hate God, to hate the parents, to disobey parents and disobey God, and to find some reason that there should be decisions made outside of the will of God and outside of the Word of God and outside what the parents would have to say. This is where we are. And ladies and gentlemen, today they're having the oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court as to whether or not there can be a state law that says that transitional surgeries called transitional gender care can be carried out with or without the parents. State of Tennessee has it, along with 22 other states, that it is illegal unconstitutional and illegal for a physician to carry out the transgender surgery on a child without the parent's knowledge and or authority. And now they're wanting to, through the Supreme Court, overturn that law in Tennessee. And it's also the same law in the state of Florida and a total of 22 states, if I'm not mistaken, ladies and gentlemen. So it's a very serious case. Now, they won't courts won't render a decision until next May or June. But we're going to talk about today the seriousness of the state and the courts and the Biden's Department of Justice intervening in a case like that to bias the case and to promulgate a push by the Supreme Court to make a decision for the present and the future generations in America as to the, quote, gender care that it has been marked as, named as, our call today. It is the barbaric butchering of healthy body parts. And now, child 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, they are not mature enough to even know what you're talking about. So we're going to discuss that today. Is it important? Should we discuss it? Should it be something that Christians, conservatives, and patriots are concerned about? Absolutely, because it points to a far greater, wider, broader, deeper subject, and that is total government control of our lives. I believe we have Harper on the line. Harper, go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, this is Blake. Thank you for taking my call. I know it may seem like it's a little bit off topic, but I do want to bring you up to date with what's going on at City Council, with specifically with regards to the matter of restricting free speech. I think you talked about it yesterday, according to our friend Derby. I'm not sure, but here's the thing. First of all, we need to lift up Nick Howland, a city council member. He's the chairman of rules. Generally, standing committee chairmen do not have public comment, and the few that do, they wait till the end of the meeting, which means the horse is already out of the barn. But Nick Howland has decided to do public comment at the beginning of meetings, and we had 9 people down there on Monday. To speak about this craziness that is 2024-871 that was put up by council president Randy White. Interestingly, the overall conversation in the committee was such that Randy White, when he was there, said, "You guys do whatever what you want to do." A lot of times, city council presidents hold sway, and people are afraid to work against. To stand against the city council president, with one exception being Aaron Bowman's attempt to censor prayer, and I think you remember that. Yes. But here's the thing, the overall comments, and this speaks to a lot of what you just talked about, the overall comments that came from the Office of General Counsel and from the Democrat, Rockman Johnson, who supported the hate crime bill, were talking about restricting free speech. Okay, and so on the other hand, Nick Howland very specifically stated he was against any of the provisions that were listed in the ordinance amendments that would be doing so. So a great thing happened. We had 9 people down there, of which 4 of them were brand new, and they got to see the insanity that goes on in city council. And I believe they're going to be good disciples for us. But we have there's a city council meeting the last of the year on Tuesday, and we have public comment. And I'm just asking people, they can go to my Facebook page for Blake Harper. I will have information on there. They can instant message me, but we need to stand against this. This is now the 4th attempt to shut down the input of the public that goes all the way back to 2017, when Tommy Hazuri and Lenny Curry tried to shut down the True Commission. So this is a huge thing that's happening right now, and this is a great opportunity for the listeners of your show that abide by the principles that you and I share to be involved in the process. Our words are hitting home because we're speaking truth, and we're speaking truth in a way that is respectful and humbling and honoring, but it's bold and it's to the point.
Well, Blake, as you know, truth is generally cast off as being disinformation or misinformation in the woke culture that we're in today. But give us that, you say it was 2024-871.
2024-0871. You can put in the 871, but it's better to put the zero in there because of however many ordinances there are. And again, Tuesday next week is the last meeting of the year. They adjourn for the Christmas break. The first Monday of January will be a rules committee, and I hope we can have hope you'll invite me onto the show for us to have a conversation about it, so people become aware of this and can participate, because this is it strikes at the heart of what you're talking about today. What we see in Washington right now is the lawfare, the weaponization of the of federal law enforcement is being pushed back by the Democrats. They're being held to task for their bad acts. And what we need to be able to do is we need to be able to speak to the bad acts that have been washing through our streets and through our press and our media for the last 4 years, like really the last 16 years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that. And yes, I will get in touch with you and we will schedule a broadcast. The next meeting is next Tuesday, you say?
City Council is next Tuesday. It is the 10th. Meeting starts at 5:00. Again, if you go to my Facebook page, people that do not get my emails, there are about 1,800 people who do. I routinely put this information on my personal Facebook page, and it's my name, Blake Harper. And so that will be a place where you can collect the information. And if you are not receiving my emails and you would like to, you can send me an instant message with your name and your email address. And I do need your phone number, so in case there are problems with the email, I can contact you.
Blake, that sounds very good. In fact, I don't know why, but it's something that slipped up on me. I was not familiar with it when the caller talked about it yesterday. I believe it was Derby. Tell me in a nutshell, what is the bill intending to do? What is the essence of it, what you would call the elevator speech on that subject?
Okay, well, first of all, we have to recognize, I'm using the phrase, the tail's wagging the dog, okay? Mm-hmm. In this case, the tail is OGC. Basically, this comes out of the clearing of City Council because of the Hamas sympathizers going crazy as they do. So they started off with this notion of dealing with signs, and the OGC has not been happy with the fact that back on May 14th of this year, I brought 22 people down to recognize the hostage victims, and each one of them had a panel with victims' faces on there. They didn't like that. So in some sense, I think that's one of the things that started this process. But what they've done is they've gone from extending the concerns about signage, which is basically accommodating the city employees, to now saying that you cannot have conversations about political candidates, political parties, or statewide ballot initiatives that are beyond the county. In other words, if we wanted to talk about 3 and 4 at City Council, that would come under that. And we know Amendment 3 is the marijuana amendment, and we know Amendment 4 is the abortion amendment. And those two, the other ones are relevant, but these are the ones that are starkly impactful on the health and welfare of city of Jacksonville citizens. And for them to say, well, no, you can't talk about ballot initiatives, and no, you can't talk about candidates, and no, you can't talk about political parties, that is clearly an overreach beyond what they claimed that they were trying to do.
Absolutely. And each of these folks, when they're sworn in office, they're sworn to uphold the Constitution. And what they're talking about doing, based on what I hear you saying, is an affront to our Constitution with the First Amendment, the right of the freedom of speech and religious liberties. It flies right in the face of that. Someone needs to educate our city council on what the Constitution says. And I believe that it is an attempt to undermine and somehow bifurcate or restrict our freedom of speech. So I'm adamantly opposed to it. I'm going to do some research on that. I'll get back with you so that before the meeting next Tuesday, we can have a full discussion on that on the air and invite our listeners to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Blake, thank you so much for the information.
Dr. Youngblood, I'll be happy to email you the work that I've done to give you a starting point. There are a couple issues which we can talk about off air, but if you'll send me an email with your current email address, I will get that to you today. I promise to do that.
Sounds great. Wonderful. Well, Blake, thank you so much for your call. we need to keep praying. And as conservatives, Christians, and patriots, we need to recognize that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen if we're going to do anything to salvage what's left of our Bill of Rights. Blake, thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And yes, to answer Blake's question there, we will definitely do a broadcast on this subject very, very soon in order to let you, our listeners, know what's taking place on a local level. I've said for some times now, I believe we've got one of the weakest, sorriest city councils in the 40-plus years that I've been in Jacksonville. I'm surprised, surprised, amazed, and saddened to see the mindset of those that are sworn into office to uphold our Constitution, and more particularly our Bill of Rights, and that want to undermine and circumvent and destroy it in some fashion to carry out some illogical goal. And right now, I believe it is a result of not having their way in the previous bill passes they wanted to pass that would restrict our signage, restrict our freedom of speech. I believe this is an extension of that to try to do so anyway. So keep up on tuning in. We'll be talking about that more later. But ladies and gentlemen, the question is, should parents or the government have the say-so on what our children are doing, and that can make the decision for them? The Supreme Court today is now listening to those arguments in relationship to it. Let me just read you a blurb or two from a major headline. Supreme Court live update. Latest from oral arguments on transgender case care today. The Supreme Court hears oral arguments today at 10 o'clock on the ability of states, listen, for states to restrict treatments for minors whose gender identity doesn't align with their sexual sex assigned at birth. Further, the article reads, in the latest culture war battle to hit the high courts, the justices will debate whether Tennessee can ban puberty blockers and hormone therapy for gender dysphoria, while allowing those treatments for other purposes. Tennessee, one of the two dozen states that have passed such restrictions in recent years, argue there are too many risks and not enough proven benefits to giving transgender minors the ability to delay puberty and develop physical traits that align with their gender identity. The Justice Department and the American Civil Liberties Union, which is representing Tennessee families challenging the ban, says the treatments are considered safe and effective by major medical associations, denying them the transgender youth they contend is discriminatory. And the article goes on and on. The bottom line is, they're arguing, trying to have the Supreme Court to throw out the ban that's in the state of Tennessee. And if the courts rule against the state of Tennessee, that will rule against the state of Florida, because we have the same type restrictions and bans. And the bottom line is, it says that a doctor cannot make the decision, you know, unilaterally, or a parent cannot make the decision unilaterally. That child has the right to say what he wants, and then the doctors and the hospitals and the medical association can do as they please, because the government should have the right to determine whether that child has his body butchered or not. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you say? Is it all right? Do you think that we need to devolve to the immoral, ungodly, unholy butchering of the bodies of our youth today, with that child just having what is called gender dysphoria? That little five-year-old boy that says he thinks he's a girl, wants to play with dolls, et cetera, et cetera. Is that something that we need to be concerned about? Or is it something that is transitory and something that is normal for that little boy, little girl growing up to play the different parts and then learn eventually that this is for boys and this is for girls? Or is it something we need? There's thousands upon thousands of those that are being butchered today. In fact, on the latest statistical data, according to the early morning news, some 22% of the youth in America today claim some element of transgenderism. There's a major, major reason behind that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look at those reasons in a moment. Look at another headline. Live update. Supreme Court to hear a major trans rights case today. The Biden administration, listen, this is the key element now. The Biden administration has backed the plaintiffs. Here's what to know. the Supreme Court will hear arguments on Wednesday over whether or not Tennessee law blocking some kinds of medical care for transgender youth runs afoul of our Constitution. Some 20 other states have similar laws that could be affected if the courts rule against the cases or the Tennessee case. So, ladies and gentlemen, who should make the decision? Who should make the decision about having the debauched surgery performed on a child? Listen, I've got some documents before me that children as young as 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. The average is between 8 and 12 years old say, Mommy, I think I'm a girl. Or, Mommy, I think I'm a boy. I want a little a boy's toy. I want a girl's toy, et cetera, et cetera. And then the parents start pushing on behalf of that child because that child says it. And by the way, the physicians, the woke culture, medical establishment, and some in Mayo Clinic and other most prestigious university hospitals across the nation are pushing that it's the child's right, it's the mother or the father's right to have this done. I'm looking at that major article. It says, who should decide when a child can change genders? A global rise in the number of teenagers seeking to go through gender reassignment has also spurred a series of court cases around the world. Worldwide, the age at which young people are able to choose the transition, and who has the final word? Let me pause for a moment. Who has the final word? Should it be the child? Should it be the parent? Or should it be government? That's a major, major dilemma that seems to pervade society today. The article reads further. Further escalating debate has revealed a gap in global laws, pitting family and religious groups against trans activists for a legal ruling on whether the decision to transition is up to the child, up to the parent, or up to the doctor. Further, the article states, puberty blockers, which delay the onset of puberty, are usually the first step in the process of transitioning, are nothing more than, listen, this article reads, they're nothing more than experimental drugs, end quote. Under some of the new laws across America, doctors could be barred from prescribing puberty blockers, blocking drugs to children. A measure introduced in South Carolina last year would revoke the license of doctors who treat trans children. The world is upside down that protecting children from sterilization and mutilization is causing a firestorm across America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more than a firestorm. It is a demonic delusion that's being promulgated and pushed by the Biden administration. Listen, what other administration would get the Department of Justice involved in pushing it? Listen, just follow what's happened with the Harris-Biden administration for 4 years. Do you realize the Harris-Biden administration, through executive order and the promulgation of rules changing in multiple areas, that right at this very moment in the military, that our tax money will pay the $250,000 that it costs for the transition and keeping that patient, future life in the hands of Big Pharma? Do you realize our tax money is paying for that because the Biden-Harris administration has authorized it? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in our schools today, a school counselor, a school teacher, a school administrator, someone in the public school can hear that little boy, little girl complaining about they think they're different sex because they're having a gender dysphoric moment, and all of a sudden, without a parental notice, without parental consent, that child can be taken to have the transgender process started and ultimately butcher healthy body parts as a result of that child just saying, I think I'm a girl, I think I'm a boy. Ladies and gentlemen, can you remember, ladies and gentlemen, when you were growing up, when you were a child, when you were a little boy, a little girl? Did you play with boys' toys and girls' toys? If you were a little girl, did you your parents call you a little tomboy because you'd climb a tree in the backyard, or that you'd want to play softball with your brothers and other boys? That is a fictitious belief today that somehow, some way, that's an indication that that child's gender needs to be changed. God gave us two genders, male and female, created he them. You can do all the surgery you want to, and it doesn't change God's DNA. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, and W.